Someone gasped. A sharp intake of air just as quickly cut off.
What did you say?
Vesh demanded.
You say survivors?
But that's impossible, Jinsler said, his voice hoarse. This ship died 50 years ago. It died. Mara frowned, drawing some of her concentration away from the distant mines to focus on Jinsler. His lined face was tight, his sense swirling like storm clouds in a crosswind, every mental barrier stripped away in a strange combination of hope and dread and guilt. And in that moment, she knew that he hadn't been lying. At least, not about his sister having been aboard. Maybe the ship died, Ambassador, she told him. But not everyone aboard died with it. Well, Fel said, his voice studiously matter-of-fact. This complicates things. It does indeed, Formby said, his glowing eyes narrowed in concentration. It complicates things tremendously. Mara caught Luke's eye. What do you think? She asked. Shall we leave them here to discuss the diplomatic ramifications while you and I just go find these people? The gambit worked. No, Formby insisted, snapping out of whatever deep thoughts he'd been working on. You cannot go alone.
Absolutely not, Drask agreed, gesturing to the standard bearer. You return to the Chaff envoy and instruct Captain Brashtal Shibarku to issue a Drace 2 alert. He is to prepare 3 squads.
Wait a minute, Luke interrupted. You can't bring a contingent of soldiers in here.
This vessel is still the property of the Chiss Ascendancy, Drask said.
I'm not disputing that, Luke said. I'm simply concerned about what the passengers may do if they see a group of armed Chiss coming down the corridors toward them.
He raises a fair point, Formby said reluctantly. They may remember that it was a picket unit of the Chiss Defense Fleet that destroyed their vessel.
Syndic Mithron Nurodo did not send warriors aboard, Drask said.
But they would have seen someone with blue skin and red eyes, Mara pointed out. Either Thrawn himself or some other envoy.
What do you suggest?
Formby asked. What Mara just said, Luke told him. She and I go find them. Alone.
No,
Bersh pleaded.
You must not leave us apart. We wish to pay tribute to the memories of these brave people. How much more should we not pay tribute to the people themselves?
Your plan is unacceptable to us as well, Drask put in. I accept your reasoning as to why we should not bring a full boarding party. But Aristocrat Chafor Mintrano and I must at least be present at your first contact with these survivors. And the Aristocrat must have a guard.
He'll have the 501st, General, Fel reminded him. They can handle anything these people can throw at us.
Your assurances are welcome, but insufficient, Drask said stiffly. We will bring a half-squad of 3 Chiss warriors, no fewer.
He looked a challenge at Luke.
Do you argue that, Jedi?
No, Luke said, giving up. 3 warriors should be all right. I take it you're coming too, Ambassador?
Absolutely, Jinsler said firmly. My superiors on Coruscant would insist on it.
The first stretch of the trip went smoothly enough. The place felt like an extended tomb, with the bare metal decks and bulkheads dully reflecting the dim glow of the permlite emergency panels set into the ceilings, and the brighter light from the party's own glow rods. Most of the rooms were loaded with silent equipment or dusty storage boxes. Occasionally, they came across a sleeping area with rows of empty bunks and personal items scattered on the deck around them. Mara walked up front with Luke, trying to read beyond the reach of her glowrod beam, and wondering a little how this particular marching order had been set up. She and Luke were the most reasonable ones to take point, of course, and she had no particular problem with Formby, Drask, and Jinsler following directly behind them. But then came Fel, Fisa, and one of the stormtroopers, with the Jeroons behind them. At the very back, walking silently despite their armor, came the other 3 stormtroopers.